Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling in hour number two. Shane and Bruce with you. Chad Chambers producing 869-1240 on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. You can join the show at your convenience. Exhibition football continuing tonight. I have the pleasure, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, thank you, of the 49ers and Broncos tonight. So I'll get a look at
Flacco
that.
Flacco going to play? You know, Do we know?
Yeah, Flacco's going to play. I think he'll probably play about a quarter. We'll see their frontline guys for a little bit more. This is their third game. It's technically week two, but it's their third game since they played in the Hall of Fame game. So we'll see. We'll see. Shared practices, much better, and had 2 days of those last week. So I just think you get much, much more out of those situations because you control the narratives, basically. But anyway, it's all part of the headlines, which we'll get to here start off the beginning of hour number two.
Well, since you brought it up, the Chiefs starters are supposed to play the first half against the Steelers. That clearly did not happen. No. Former Chief and center Tim Grunhard made an interesting observation on Twitter in that, in his opinion, he just thought that with the way the Steelers were lining up and the Chiefs having, frankly, a little difficulty blocking them, Andy Reid said, "Now we're good. Get him out of there."
Yeah.
Instead of playing, you know, the entire first half and putting him at a little bit of risk, and this is Grunhard's opinion, not mine.
So yes.
I'll give him his due. But he's like, I think the Steelers were mixing up their looks well enough that it made Andy Reid a little uncomfortable. So didn't get quite as long a look at the Chiefs' number ones. They lose 17-7. Chad Henne threw the only touchdown pass the Chiefs had. That was 7-7 at halftime, and frankly, it was pretty unwatchable.
Yeah.
But
and
then nobody, again,
and who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
Right. And it's preseason footballs, so most of it is. In case you missed it, in the first hour, Pete Alonso, the fourth player this season, reached the 40 home run mark. With 13 more home runs, Pete Alonso would break the Major League Baseball rookie record for home runs in a season set by Aaron Judge in 2017. Judge hit his 40th home run that season on September 10th. You'll recall he got red hot at the very end to get to 52, while Pete Alonso has been a little bit more efficient with his home runs and not necessarily, at least lately, binge-worthy. But he does have 40 before September 1st, so we will certainly keep our eye on that. Zach Greinke tossed seven innings, a one-run ball against the A's Sunday, won his 200th career game. Sure seems like he's been around long enough to win more than 200, but you know, he joins Verlander and Sabathia as the only active pitchers to have 200 career wins. He becomes the 32nd pitcher to reach 200 wins and 2,500 strikeouts in his career. He is, of course, teammates now with Justin Verlander after being traded to the Astros. Verlander reached the 200-win mark almost exactly a year ago. On this day, last year, Verlander got 200 wins. Since being traded to the Astros, to Bruce's point about them being loaded, Greinke is 3-0 with a 2.37 ERA. He's gone six consecutive starts now, allowing two earned runs or fewer, so he figures to be getting hot at just the right time. In case you didn't know, Rafael Devers is really good and may end up, well, this season anyway, he may be the best Red Sox of them all.
Yep.
And that's saying something with Bogarts and Betts on the same team. But he became the first baseball player to reach 100 RBI this season. And he currently leads Major League Baseball in hits with 167, doubles with 46, RBI with 101, and total bases with 300.
22 years old.
And he is the first player to record 100 RBI and score 100 runs in his age 22 season or younger since Mike Trout in his MVP season of 2014.
Think that's pretty good company to hang in? That's all right.
Not too shabby. Speaking of good company, he's the first Red Sox to total 100 runs and 100 RBI in their age 22 or younger season since Ted Williams in 1941.
Again,
Williams has the only other such seasons. He's had three of those, 39, 40, and 41. So he was, good God, 19 when he did it once?
Yep.
But anyway,
sure was.
Rafael Devers joins the Splendid Splinter. Speaking of youth, Juan Soto hit his 50th career home run on Sunday, becomes the third player to reach that mark before turning 21. So Juan Soto joined Mel Ott and Tony Conigliaro of having 50 or more home runs before they turned 21.
Did you see the note on, God, I can't remember where I wrote, maybe on stats, by stats, 313 home runs hit from Monday through Sunday, most ever in a week in Major League history. The only other Monday to Sunday week with 300 or more ever, the week immediately prior with 301.
Breaking its own record a week
back
later.
Back-to-back records in the last 2 weeks. Yep. So I got a chuckle out of that.
And it seems like a broken record by us, but this is fascinating and historical numbers that we're seeing with the year of the home run. And it,
Are they? I mean, do they lose? Yes, they're historic. They're historic because there is a benchmark to compare them to. Mm-hmm. Is it fascinating? Because to me, it's just become redundant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a little numb to it, I'll be honest.
I mean, I think I just am. So maybe, I don't know. Is this kind of like, bear with me here. I'm going to make a statement that is, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't.
I'll just spit it out.
It's kind of like the steroid era. But it's the ball.
Yeah.
And maybe not the players.
Mm-hmm. No, so you're onto something there. I
don't know.
Depending on how long the baseball stays like it is, then it could have its own era. I agree with you. It could have its own era.
Mm-hmm.
If the ball doesn't change and we push 7,000 home runs next year, and that's not an arbitrary number, by the way. That's possible if the ball doesn't change.
Yeah,
7,000 total home runs. But if that's the case, then it will have the steroid era and the juiced ball era. It's
totally.
You know, it's possible.
Well, anyway, just crazy. Did you see the hit that Paxton Lynch took in that game last night against the Vikings?
That Seahawks head-to-head? Or the Vikings guy, I thought he was going to knock his head off.
I thought he was going to kill him.
Even in slow motion, it looked like Paxton Lynch's head was going to come off. That was pretty bad.
And you know, and Paxton's got to get down. But, I mean, it's dude's fault. Hill or whatever, whoever it was. I mean, he just headhunted.
Yeah.
Now, they flagged him and they booted him. I mean, he's out. But, my God. I mean, go look at that hit. It's all over everywhere this morning. And you can see it. It's, you know what it is, Shane? It's the classic piece of video that a mother would look at and say, my kid's not playing football.
No doubt about that.
And I mean it. And I'm glad Paxton was able to get up and walk off under his own power.
Did he go into the concussion protocol just on principle?
They took him off the field. They got him right back. They got him back into the locker room. But I, based on everything I heard last night, late, he was okay.
Good.
So, yeah, absolutely.
That was violent.
Let's get Mike, who joins us on the Twin Peaks Scenic View Hotline, 869-1240. Mike, nice to have you.
Good morning. That was a perfect word, Bruce, redundant. I can't watch. I love baseball. I can't watch it. I just can't watch it anymore. I kind of peeked at that Milwaukee-Washington game. What was it? What was the final score? 16-14 or something? I just can't watch it.
Washington hit like 8 homers or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they scored 16 runs.
Yeah.
They either put the ball back the way it was or move the pitching mound up or something. I don't see why any guy would want to go out and pitch as a youngster. I mean, I just can't. I'm just lost for words, man. I love baseball. I just can't watch it anymore.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. I'm sorry. I've admitted, even though I don't like it, I can put up with it. It's not a deterrent for me. I can complain and be grumpy and old about it, but I still watch baseball. Because there's enough of the game that is familiar to me that I like the look of, and I'm okay with it. I don't prefer it. I would rather see, you know, a little less of the ball flying out of the ballpark, because I think it's hurt other parts of the game. But I don't, you know, whatever. Not going to miss baseball games. But Mike's a great caller, and I'm sorry that he does.
Well,
speaking of great callers, how about Dennis? Dennis, has it been a deterrent for you? You're about as good a baseball fan as we have on the air.
Well, I tell you what, fellas, after this weekend in particular, I mean, two games, one with 12 home runs, the other with 11 home runs. That's getting just to be a bit much. It's almost like some computer game or something almost. So I'm kind of fed up with the juice ball. They can go back to a regular ball if they wish, as soon as possible, preferably.
All right.
Well, according to the commissioner, the ball isn't juiced. So there's that argument, too. And I don't think there's much of an argument. When you look at total home run numbers across the board, there's something going on, and the pitchers are gonna know quicker than anybody. And who was it? Verlander that basically came out and said he's full of it.
Yeah, Verlander called him out.
Yeah, there is something wrong with the ball, and I don't care what he says. So,
well, the numbers don't lie, right, for God's sakes. I mean, not everybody becomes Babe Ruth overnight. Please. But no, I'm hanging with the game. I feel you, Mike. I do. And it's not like there haven't been a few games where I've kind of thrown my hands up and said, the hell with this. I don't need it. But God, I keep going back to it every night. I mean, I really do. Carrie is up next, takes time out of her day. Nice to have you in, Carrie. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I was thinking, gentlemen, good morning.
How are you?
I think triples are, I'd much rather see a triple over a home run any day. They're harder to get. It's nice to watch a guy leg one out.
Okay.
So I'd like to see some more triples going. Yeah, home runs are great. But
well, watch the Royals.
I just wanted to bring that up.
They hit triples.
Yeah.
And they play in a ballpark that is conducive to triples.
Suited for it.
You know, Coors Field is a triples ballpark, if you want to be totally honest, because they made
it
big enough to try to equalize the altitude and balls flying out of there as far as home runs are concerned. More expansive outfield makes it tougher on the outfielders, frankly. Comerica Park, also triples ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Royals have like 32 33, 34, somewhere in there, triples. Yeah, triples exciting, but
no question.
People don't get paid big-time dollars to hit triples. You know, Willie Wilson or Willie McGee or guys like that.
I mean, and not to be flippant, and we just heard from Carey of the Fairer Six, chicks dig the long ball, man.
Yeah.
How good? I mean, God, was that a great...
That was a great commercial.
I mean, that was a really great marketing tool for a while.
Yep.
I mean, that was really good stuff. But how true it is. And it's just... And by the way, you can change the verbiage. Fans like the long ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
well, that's why the ball's
they're
juiced.
Not staying away from the ballpark because of it. So,
yeah, I'd like to. I was gonna say I'd like to know. I know that the attendance in Kansas City is down, but they're also 44-80. So you understand why. But is the game the way it is? Is there any merit to people that think it, there's something wrong with it and needs to be fixed? You know, are you going to go off of attendance at the ballpark? Are you going to go off of TV ratings? Are you going to go?
I mean,
how are you going to determine?
I mean, isn't there more grumbling about it than there is outrage? I don't sense that there's there's outrage over it. I mean, I think that you view things that are happening now with a bit of a jaundiced eye. It's kind of silly baseball, but it's still baseball.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, so, it's not necessarily baseball if you start bringing robot umpires into it and you start putting a guy at second base in extra innings and you start outlaw the shift and you make a pitcher face at least three guys. Then, I mean, in my opinion, then we're not talking about baseball. And not that... I mean, the way the rules were constructed and have been played under over the last 100 or however many years, I mean, are we going to totally go away from those just because people don't like the way baseball looks anymore? You know, that there are shifts and that there are specialists and games do last 3.5 hours. We're going to rip up the rule book and redo it just because we want to try to make some more people happy?
I think beyond home runs, to me, the biggest issue in the game is the pace of the game. I really do. I mean, there's not many people that love the game more than I do, but, you know, I don't have 3 hours and 45 minutes to sit around and watch a baseball game.
In order to make it faster than that, then you have to change rules.
You do.
I mean, you can't just tell them to hurry up. You got to change rules.
Well, somewhere along the line, games got longer. Because you go back and look at games back in the day, and they played 9 innings.
They played fast.
They didn't take 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Nope. They played fast.
Specialization, situational baseball, all of those things have changed the way the game is played and the pace of the game. If there was any one thing that I could fix in baseball, it would be the pace of the game. Give me a 2.5 hour exercise, 2:45. That's fine. Whatever. I don't care. You can hit home runs, but you know, and I know that it's not finite. I mean, it's open ended, and that's the nature of baseball. But I do think the pace of the game continues to have to be addressed, and I think it improves the way that the game looks. If the game moves along, the game looks better, period.
Yeah.
It just does.
And feels better. Feels like a...
Feels better.
A cleaner game. Yeah. It's like, oh, that was a good game. You know?
Exactly.
That was a good game.
You walk out feeling like, I'm not saying it has to be a 3-2 game. I'm not saying that, a big hit and run had to be the difference in the seventh to get a guy over, I'm not saying that. Doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that old school. But the game just has to move along. Because invariably, that's exactly how you are leaving the ballpark when you've seen a game that's been snappily and cleanly played. That was a good ball game.
Right.
I didn't see five home runs, but it was a good ball game. It's fun.
If you want to listen to this show but aren't near a radio or in your car, you can listen by downloading our app. It's called radio.com, and you can find it in the App Store on your phone by searching radio.com. Final word of the segment goes to Steve, and then we get to Ivan Maisel coming up next. Steve.
I think the advertising is too long. I think that's what's – because you look at games in the 40s that were 2 hours and 15 minutes, they weren't on TV.
And they were, you're right.
Now they're waiting for the TV to tell everybody to get back and start playing again.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that because that hits their money.
Well,
that's right. That's exactly right. That's the one thing that's probably
that's a necessary evil, right? So, yeah, that's not going to change. I agreed. Agreed. There are lots of ways, but you can shave a minute here, a minute there. Go watch Aaron Judge hit. See how many times Aaron Judge gets out of the box. I mean, I hate the Yankees, which means that I don't like Aaron Judge very much. But you know what? He stands in there. His at-bats move along.
And how about if you want to make a pitching change, don't wait for the manager to drag his ass out to the mound. Just have him point down to the bullpen.
And get it
done. He didn't need to walk out to the mound.
Yeah, don't need all the dramatics.
No.
Nothing is said that of any worth.
He didn't need to be out there to take the ball from the pitcher.
No. 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 And if he needs to talk to his infield, he can draw them in while he gets his eight throws and call it good and boom. And get back to it. You know, there's just some consolidation that can be taken care of. That's all. Ivan Maisel coming up next, longtime college football contributor. New podcast and a pretty interesting one. Hang around. It's Monday edition with Shane and Bruce.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.